This time last year, I made a bit of an assumption. There we go. Our verse of 2017 was, God is a refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble, and our theme was, what kind of church? And the assumption that I had made was that we would spend a year reflecting together on what kind of church God was calling us to be, and then this year, we would start doing it. The image that you may find helpful is one of a runner on the starting grid. Our reflection for 2017 was us getting ready on the starting grid, and then in the beginning of 2018, God would fire the starting gun, and we would start doing the things God is calling us to do. But around about September, I was starting to get a bit anxious, a bit worried, because certain things were becoming clear. I think I said this last week as well. I think that the result of our reflections through 2017 is that we want to be a church which is called to serve God, serve our community, and one which grows and is healthy. I think that captures where we arrived at by the end of last year. But the reason I was getting anxious was because God wasn't saying anything to me about how we were going to achieve those things. There was no clear sense of God saying to me, this is the direction I want you to take this congregation. And then in October, we had a discussion at the Kirk Session meeting. We discussed changing our pew Bibles to the New International Version to have a translation of the Bible that would really serve us as a congregation going ahead into the future. And then someone raised the question, if we're changing our Bibles so that we have a more appropriate, a more helpful translation for our church, should we not also do the same with the words that we use in worship? And that was where the discussion about the words that we use for the Lord's Prayer, that's where it came from. And the words that we used this morning were the ones that were agreed by the Kirk Session. But the Kirk Session agreed to change these words with a caveat. And the caveat was, Stuart, we will change these words, but only if you accompany them with a sermon series which takes us through the Lord's Prayer and explains it to us. Now, I shared with the Kirk Session, and I share with you, that there are not many ministers who can say that they have had a sermon series requested by their elders. And of course, I agreed. And next Sunday, we will start on a sermon series which will take us through the various lines of the Lord's Prayer, reflecting on them and trying to understand why it was that Jesus taught his disciples to pray in the way that he did. But that got me thinking about the theme of prayer and the importance of prayer and the place of prayer. Prayer is one of the fundamental things that we as Christians are called to do, along with reading our Bibles regularly. Prayer is also one of the most underused, undervalued, and underutilized resources that Christians have available to them, along with reading their Bibles regularly. Prayer is so important, and yet it is easy to overlook. A very personal example from my own life. I, as your minister, know the importance of prayer and regular prayer. And Ruth and I try and have our prayer time in the morning and the evening to start and end our day with God. And those prayer times include me praying about the day ahead and committing it all over to him. But on more than one occasion, there has been a time when one or other of us have said, I'm too busy to pray. I'm running late. I don't have time to pray. Now, as counterintuitive as this may be, the busier that we are, the more important prayer is. It was Martin Luther who said, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. I wonder how many of us can say that we take that attitude with prayer. I've got a really hectic, busy, full-on day ahead of me, so I'm going to spend the first 3 hours of it in prayer. Paul goes further in our passage this morning. He doesn't say that you should pray for 3 hours if you have a busy day. He says to the Thessalonians, you need to pray continually. And so we have arrived, or I had arrived, at the theme and the verse for us for 2018. The place that God is calling us to go next as a congregation is to pray. Before we can go on and do the big things that he's calling us to do, and I believe that he does have a plan and a purpose for this congregation, I really do. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe that. But before we go on to do these things, God needs us to pray. And more than that, he needs us to learn what it means to pray continually. Not just pray as a one-off, not pray in the morning or in the evening, but pray continually and know what that means. And so let's look at what Paul means by pray continually and see how this is going to impact us for the rest of this year. We start with a simple question, which is, well, what is prayer? Because to know what it means to pray continually, we need to know what prayer is. And in its simplest form, prayer is communicating with God, speaking with God, and listening for God. Now, I suspect that for many of us here today, when you think of prayer, this is what you all think of. Is that a fair thing? Hands clasped, eyes closed, head bowed. That's how we teach children to pray. In Sunday school, I was taught you prayed with your hands clasped, your eyes closed, your head bowed. And I suspect that the reason that we tell children that that's how you pray is to stop them fidgeting and to stop them getting distracted. Because you can't fidget with your hands clasped together and you can't get distracted if your eyes are closed. And don't get me wrong, that kind of bowed posture may help you in your prayers. Our posture does help us as we pray. Personally, I don't like to pray with my head bowed. I like to pray with my head raised. That's my personal preference. Nothing wrong with that. But we have to understand that there is more to prayer than our posture. There is more to prayer than eyes up or eyes down. There's more to prayer than hands clasped or arms wide. There is more to prayer than that. Remember, prayer is simply communicating with God. It is nothing more complicated or complex than that. Communicating with God should be something that we feel is natural as holding a conversation with someone whom we are close to, partner, friend, relative. It should be no more difficult than that. Our prayers do not need to be eloquent prayers. Jesus says in Matthew 6, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Our prayers don't need to be complex. They don't need to be well-crafted pieces of literature. They just need to be the words that are so simple and so natural to us. In fact, sometimes we could say we don't even need words. Paul in Romans 8, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Each one of you here who follows God and believes in Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit within you who helps you in your prayers. And sometimes when you spend that time in God's presence and you have no words, you have nothing to say, that's okay too. Because God's Spirit is able to interpret your feelings and your wordless groans and pains and griefs and take all of that and present it to God. So our prayers don't even necessarily need words. When we pray then, we do so in a way that comes naturally to us. We don't need long, all-encompassing prayers, but sometimes that's what we do. We don't need short, sharp prayers, but sometimes that's what we do. We don't even need quiet times, but sometimes that is what we do. That's the reality of prayer. It's all of these things and none of these things. It's whatever is natural to you when it comes to speaking to God. But remember that prayer is not simply an opportunity for us to present our list of things to God. I want this, I want that, and I want to pray for this and pray for that. It's not about just presenting God with a list. However, Scripture does give us permission to present requests to God. Paul in Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So prayer is not about presenting a list of wishes, but that's not to say that we cannot present requests to God, because very clearly we can. Prayer then is more about the conversation that takes place between us and God. We can talk to God whenever we need to. This is one of the wonderful things about the Christian faith, is that although we have a God of the universe, a God of the whole of creation, we also have a personal, individual God who is interested in each one of us as individuals. And so he is happy to allow us as individuals to speak to him whenever we require. And that has been made possible through Jesus Christ. For us, Jesus has broken down the barrier that existed between God and ourselves. He has broken the barrier of sin. He has taken that away to allow uninterrupted communication between us and God. Furthermore, as I've already said, each one of us who believes in Jesus Christ has received his Spirit. That's the promise of Pentecost. When God poured his Spirit out on this world, he was saying, any person that comes to believe in Jesus Christ, they receive my Holy Spirit within them. And Paul has already said through Romans the benefit that that brings us, the way that that allows us that uninterrupted, continual opportunity to be speaking with and communing with God. And so prayer is firstly about that conversation, that opportunity that we have to speak to God, that uninterrupted line of communication that he has established for us. But just as a conversation between people is a two-way thing, conversation between us and God we should expect to be a two-way thing as well. Because through prayer, God always responds. Always responds. He definitely responds through the words of the Bible. This is God's word to us. That does not literally mean that God dictated every single word that we have in the pages of the Bible, but what it certainly means is that God, through the writers of the Bible, even up to today, continues to speak to his people through the words of Scripture. And Scripture is God's primary way of speaking to each one of us. It's why we should hold the Bible in such high esteem, not worship it as some people are in danger of doing, but certainly treat it as a special thing, because there is no other book like it. There is no other book that God has ordained is his way to speak to his people. Only the Bible has that authority. And so God definitely responds to our prayers through his word. Sometimes, and you may have experienced this yourself, the response of God comes through that quiet little voice in your head that prompts you to do something. It may not necessarily be a voice, it may be a feeling. It may be a sense of, I have to go and do something, and being compelled to do it and not being able to stop yourself from doing it. That's God. by his Spirit, prompting his followers to respond and to do things. Now, the thing we need to bear in mind with that prompting or that small voice is that it's always helpful, where possible, to just check that what you're being prompted to do fits with God's commands and plan in Scripture. Because God is consistent and will not prompt one of his followers to do something which comes into direct contradiction with his word in Scripture. That is not something God will ever do. So if you get a feeling that God is prompting you to do something and you discover in Scripture that actually that's not what God commanded his people to do or something like that, then chances are you've probably got it wrong rather than God is contradicting himself, because God cannot do that. So he always responds through the Bible. Sometimes he responds personally to us, but always in line with the Bible. But what is important is that God always responds to the prayers of his people. Something that is shown throughout the pages of the Bible is that God always responded to prayer. Always, consistently responded. Now, I know that there are some who will say that they have prayed things and that they haven't happened and they haven't worked, or sometimes, especially if you're going through a particularly difficult time, you can feel as though your prayers are going unanswered. And that is a struggle and a challenge, and it is something that we will always have to contend with, because our ways are not God's ways. But the truth is that God, even in those prayers that you don't think he's responding to, he is giving some response. Whether it's a wait or whether it's a no, I want something else to happen. Those are the three things I've heard that explained how God can respond to our prayers. It's either with a yes, a wait, or a no. If it's a no, that usually means God has something else in mind, and that can become apparent to us as time goes by. But God always responds to prayer. He never leaves us without that response. And so prayer, what is prayer? Simply communication between us and God, and then God in us in return. Why pray? Why pray? If that's what prayer is, then why do we do it? Why do we pray? Firstly, we pray because it's something that is commanded in Scripture. Although the word command is maybe not quite right, perhaps it's better to say that it's something expected in Scripture. Take the quotation earlier when Jesus was talking about not babbling like the pagans. He said to his followers, "And when you pray," not if you pray, when. In Jesus' teaching, there was an expectation that the people of God would pray. There was an expectation that God didn't need to command his people to pray, because it was a given. It was obvious. Of course God's people will pray. Why wouldn't they? And so Jesus doesn't say if you pray, he says when you pray. It's a given that if we follow Jesus, if we believe in God, we will pray. Secondly, why pray? Well, pray because Jesus made it possible. I've already said, thanks to Jesus, the barrier between us and God has been broken down. We have that uninterrupted line of communication, and so if God has given us uninterrupted communication with him, surely we are taking this for granted if we don't use it. It's a bit like getting free Wi-Fi. I love a bit of free Wi-Fi, because it means I don't need to spend my money on phone data. I can hook into the internet for nothing. It doesn't cost me anything. I've never once thanked a cafe. I've never once thanked a member of staff for the free Wi-Fi that they supply. Maybe I should, because it's something that they do, I suppose, to keep me as a customer happy. God is giving us free access to him. He's essentially giving us a free phone line, a free Wi-Fi, whatever image you want to use. He's giving us that for nothing to use. Now, as I say, I would leap at the chance to use free Wi-Fi. Are we willing to leap at the chance to use the free, open communication we have with God? Do we treat the free, open communication we have with God in the same way that we treat our internet? Oh, I can get online. Brilliant. Why not? Oh, I can talk to God. Brilliant. And finally, why pray? Well, because like any relationship, communication is how it develops and grows and deepens. One of the all-age songs that I considered for today, it didn't quite fit because the first verse is, I will make you fishers of men, but the second verse is absolutely right. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. To deepen our relationship with God and to allow our faith to grow and deepen, we need to talk to him. We need to let him talk back to us. If we don't do this, if we don't regularly engage in prayer, if we don't regularly read our Bibles, then our relationship with God at best will stall and plateau and never develop. But at worst, if we never pray and we never read our Bibles, then our relationship with God will stagnate and eventually die, as would any human relationship that we can have. Communication is so important to maintaining any relationship, and so it's the same with our relationship with God. We need that prayer to deepen it and develop it. And all of this takes us into an understanding of why Paul commanded the Thessalonians, or encouraged them is maybe better, he encouraged them to pray continually. Although prayer is that moment of stopping, talking directly to God, waiting for him to speak back to us through Scripture and through that voice, when it comes to praying continually, it's like taking that prayer to the next level. I've got a couple of quotations to help our understanding. The first is from Warren Wiersbe. Pray without ceasing does not mean we must always be mumbling prayers. The word means constantly recurring, not continuously occurring. We are to keep the receiver off the hook and be in touch with God so that our praying is part of a long conversation that is not broken. God knows the desire of the heart, Psalm 37:4, and he responds to those desires even when our voice is silent. And then another quote, obviously, it, praying continually, cannot mean that we are to be in a head bowed, eyes closed posture all day long. Paul is not referring to non-stop talking, but rather an attitude of God consciousness and God surrender that we carry with us all the time. Every waking moment is to be lived in an awareness that God is with us and that he is actively involved and engaged in our thoughts and actions. This has been somewhat lost by the church because the church made prayer all about those moments when we stop. Whether it's on a Sunday morning as we come to worship and someone leads us in prayer, or whether you have that regular pattern of praying in the morning or evening or taking time at some other point to have your quiet time with God, we made prayer about that. But the church is rediscovering, especially through things like Roman Catholic prayer patterns and Celtic prayer patterns, this idea of the continual presence and praying to God. It becomes part of the rhythm and the pattern of life, being aware that God is with you every moment of every day, knowing that you can talk to him at every moment of every day, knowing that he speaks back to you every moment of every day, and it becomes a rhythm to life. It is something that we need to work on. It's something we need to build up to. But eventually, if we continue in this continual pattern of prayer, we begin to become aware of God's continual presence with us. We consciously acknowledge that He is with us through our everyday life as well as in those quiet moments. And eventually, this becomes an unconscious, natural rhythm that we have, awareness of God in everything that we do, knowing we can speak to Him at every moment of every day, knowing that He never leaves us nor forsakes us, but is always with us. That's what praying continually means. And that, I think, is the aim for every follower of Jesus, every believer. To be so in tune with God and His presence that you're able to effortlessly and continually pray to Him and allow Him to shape, to guide, and to mold your life. Prayer is a discipline. It's something that we need to work at and build up to. None of us can really get in tune with God that immediately. Some are gifted. They're the fortunate ones. Most of us, it's something we need to work at. But if we continue to persevere in our discipline of prayer, especially regular prayer time, we become more aware that God is with us continually and that we can speak to Him and that He speaks back. And this is what I believe God is saying for us for 2018. He's saying, if you as a congregation want to carry forward the plans I have for you, you need to get your prayer lives and your relationship with me right. You need to learn what it means to pray continually, always talking and listening to me and my call. There's a song by one of my favorite Christian bands called Casting Crowns. And I want to leave this with you as I finish today. The song is called, What If His People Prayed? And the first verse and chorus go like this. What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captives free and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if His people prayed, and those who bear His name would humbly seek His face and turn from their own way? He said that they would hear. His promise has been made. He'll answer loud and clear if only we would pray. As counterintuitive as it may seem, if we want to do what God is calling us to do as a congregation, as a church, instead of going out and immediately doing things, we need to get praying. We need to get our prayers right, our prayer life right, because this becomes the foundation of all that we will do for God in the future. And so what do you think would happen if His people prayed? What if His people prayed? Well, why don't we find out and work throughout 2018 to become a congregation who can say with confidence that we are a people who do pray continually? Let us pray. Your words to us this morning, Lord, are challenging. They challenge the patterns of our very life. They invite us into a deeper relationship with You, if only we would learn how to pray continually. Lord, we are before You today, knowing our shortcomings and shortfallings in this area, how easy it is for us to neglect our times of prayer. Lord, as a congregation, as we commit ourselves today to learning what it means to pray continually throughout this year, I ask that You would bless us all, that You would help us and enable us in our prayer lives, that You would help us to encourage one another to know what it means to pray continually. Lord, You never return an investment empty. We trust and we believe that if we commit to You today, You will bless us in our work. So help us as we pray, O Lord, and as we learn to pray continually. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.